Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I want to welcome you on this. You know, we're having a snowy day in New York, so this is a snowy day for us. But I want to welcome you to the show. If you're not familiar with Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, on this program, we have NFL legend Jim Brown versus NBA All-Star Kobe Bryant. We have talk show host Arsenio Hall versus musical artist Kanye West, and a discussion about Rashida Jones. This is the daughter of Quincy Jones, the actress Rashida Jones. She called out female pop stars. I figured it was something we should talk about. And we do have a discussion on this whole Santa Claus is what conversation, so we may talk about that. We have the world of news and entertainment and much more. I want to thank you for tuning in. And you can call in and join the program at area code 909-265-9189 to come on the program. You can send us an email at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com if you would like to send an email. Or you can join us in our Facebook group at BOBC Show. That's on Facebook. So go on and like that. Now, if you heard last week's show, we primarily talked about the passing of Madiba, of Nelson Mandela, and his service order, some facts, and, you know, some information on his 10-day mourning schedule. And also, we talked about MSNBC, the psycho host, Torrey versus Don Lemon. You know, the commish, Kathleen, and I kind of knocked that out of the box. And we had a discussion about Indiana University's apology for their racist Santa Claus display. And coincidentally, we have some more Santa Claus stuff on this program. So interesting enough that we have that. Now, I want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime. Remember, you can join us here every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, President Obama will sit down. This is just in some news. We like to start off the show with some news and information. So President Obama will sit down for an hour-long one-on-one interview with Steve Harvey on his syndicated talk show. Now, that's going to be on, they're going to broadcast it, December 20th. That's this Friday coming up. So Harvey said that he and the president talked family, fatherhood, and his plans for the holidays, and also according to Harvey, sitting down with the president is something that he said he always dreamt of doing, and he's honored to have the opportunity. So they already taped the show, but it's going to broadcast on Friday. The president goes on Steve Harvey's talk show. I guess it is pretty popular and has pretty good ratings, so we'll have to see how that turns out. Now, Fred the Hammer, Williamson has just started a Kickstarter campaign to raise $1.2 million in 60 days to make a sequel to his 1990 1996 film Original Gangsters. Now, everybody's coming back. The original stars are Fred Williamson, for one, Jim Brown, who we're talking about today, Pam Grier, okay, which everybody's going to go see, Richard Roundtree, and also Bernie Casey, along with Gloria Hendry, Antonio Fargas, and Robert Forster. They will all be there. So if you don't remember that movie, it was, I'm thinking of the Kenan Ivory Wayans show, but it wasn't that. But Original Gangsters was Fred Williamson's project, and apparently he's coming back to do more, so I just wanted to make sure we mention that. If you haven't seen Mandela, which is technically not out yet, but if you haven't seen all of the promos that's going on, we will play a promo from Mandela, which is coming out on Christmas. Now, Best Actor contender Idris Elba, see, Kathleen, I got it right twice, 2 weeks in a row. He stars in Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, the forthcoming biopic showcase South African apartheid leader early life and crusades for equal rights and freedom in the years leading up to his presidency. But it tells it from Mandela's perspective. So it's titled after his autobiography that's called A Long Walk to Freedom. So if you get a chance to see that, or if you get a chance, go see it. I saw some clips of it, and Daniel actually reviewed the movie last week. We can't talk about it. Media is not allowed to talk about it, but he will give a review on this program coming up. So, well, coming up probably next week. We have to hold till Friday, I think. So we'll probably do it on next week, so we'll make sure that we get Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom on the program. And also, like I said, we're going to play a clip. I think we've played one in the past, but we'll play the promos to the movie just in case you want to hear it. Now, again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. This is a program that's not about crime, but here is where we talk about those things that are in the news or in the world that black people are over-criticizing or analyzing black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. That's what we do on Black Crime. On this program, it's Jim Brown versus Kobe Bryant. In case you didn't see that, Jim Brown was on Arsenio, said some things about Kobe. One was that it's a running joke amongst all of us, but one was that he threw Shaq under the bus, and I kind of agree with that. But nevertheless, we have that. We're going to talk about Rashida Jones, the daughter of Quincy Jones. She made some comments about, you know, musical artists, and not necessarily just the black artists is what she was talking about, but she was just saying music artists is going a bit far. But I want to discuss that a little bit on Black Crime. And Arsenio also had a moment at a press conference and said some things about Kanye West. So I thought this may be interesting for us to talk about. So we have that and more on the program. But I would want to welcome you to call in and join us at area code, 909-265. See, I almost missed the whole program again. 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. And we also have a clip from John Stewart. I don't know if you saw it. Their big debate about Santa Claus being black. Now, I have a clip from The Daily Show that I'm going to play for you where John Stewart is talking about, you know, Christmas, but it was in response to Fox News' characterization of, you know, Santa Claus was white, and we need to just respect that Santa Claus is white, that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about that also on the show. So I just wanted to kind of put that in the mix. If we have time to talk about it, and maybe if everyone's here, we'll play a game or two. Now, I just have another news story I want to say before we take our break and come back, that, yeah. One of the stories that I missed talking about last week on the show was about the fact that Jeez, I keep getting these shows mixed up. This is the VH1 hit show Single Ladies, not Living Single. That's back with its third season. It's premiering early next year, January 6th at 9 p.m. It's the popular script hour-long television series, which has a pretty big following, and they said they promised more shenanigans is kind of how they described it, and going on in the lives of Keisha, Raquel, April, and I don't really watch the show, can you tell, because I'm struggling over those names, and Damian Dante Wayans is also joining the cast of Single Ladies as a new supporting cast member, so we'll check that out. I want to make sure I mention that. This is a Queen Latifah executive-produced show that she created, so we wanted to make sure I put that out there. I think I had it on the banner on the last show and didn't talk about it, but that's what's coming up on. That's what's coming up next year, and there's a lot of other programs that are announced, but we'll talk about those a little bit later. I just want to make sure I put Living Single out there. And for those, just in case I don't talk about it, James Winston did win the Heisman Trophy in a landslide. He became the youngest winner ever, and Jameis Winston left voters no choice but to give him the Heisman because, like every other, you know, Florida State victory this season, it was a blowout. So the quarterback became the youngest Heisman winner ever and the second straight freshman to win. He's a redshirt freshman, so he won. He received 668 first-place votes and 2,205 points. Well, I guess they vote by a point system. So he finished 1,501 points ahead of Alabama's quarterback, A.J. McCarron, for the seventh largest margin of victory in Heisman history, despite being left off 115 of the 900 ballots that were returned. So he had the largest victory anyway, the largest margin, and he still was left off the ballots. We won't go into the controversy of that, but he was still left off. All right, so I just wanted to mention that and just welcome you again to the show. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You know, here's how we do this. We have some stories that we're going to talk about. And, you know, Jim Brown, Kobe Bryant, those are our main topics today, but we have some more. We're going to take a break and come back with more Black on Black Crimes. I think I'll start off and talk a little bit about Mandela because his funeral was yesterday. I know it's been 10 days, but I think we need to acknowledge the contributions of Madiba. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I'll see if Kamish is ready to come on, and we'll bring the commissioner in because I didn't open up the chat room, so I might get in trouble. And we have that and more, but I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. Dial in and join us, 909-265-9189. We'll be back after this.
About BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the business 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the king.
And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Before the sneeze, help protect with a spray. Before the tissue, help defend with a wipe. Before the cold and flu season, help prevent with Lysol. Because when you have 10 times more protection with each hand wash and kill 99.9% of germs around the house with each spray, those healthy habits start to add up. This season, a good offense is the best defense. And Lysol has your family covered because that's our mission for health.
Hey, it's me, Water. So you want me to be super amazing right from the faucet, but you think home filters can be a pain in the tuss? Well, check this out. Booyah! Shazam! H2O. Hydrolicious. Look what I can do. Magic bananas. Adios, contaminos. It's the first faucet filter that installs with just one click and removes 99% of lead and microbial cysts. Check it out at purewater.com.
Remember, it's Black Toyota Avalon.
No way, dude. It's an Avalon.
Is there a problem?
Just some down power lines up ahead.
Really?
Got some meat coming. You're good to go.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon. Unlike any Avalon you've ever seen before, only the name remains. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're here on Esprit Radio, broadcasting on ACN. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I think we just dropped our commish, you know, just as I was about to bring her in. But, you know, I just want to remind you that you can call in and join the program. First of all, before we really get into our program today, I want to make sure that I said, you know, Mandela, or made sure I talked about the contributions of Nelson Mandela and all that he meant to everyone. I think what happens with news is that we need to get out and put out more news stories and keep everybody informed. So as far as the funeral was concerned, it happened yesterday. There was still a large contingency of people at the funeral. It didn't just stop with America not looking or European nations checking out the festivities, but in South Africa, I mean, Oprah and, you know, Idris Elba and all of these people. I mean, there were stars there, but it was also Prince Charles and a lot of dignitaries. So Nelson Mandela was laid to rest yesterday in South Africa. Along with the dignitaries, it was lines and miles of people. The Zulus did traditional dances with shamans actually doing worship services. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, I know it was broadcast on some side networks, but if you didn't get a chance to see that, Nelson Mandela services and funerals was probably one of the, probably will be one of the largest or widest watched audiences of any program in the world. We'll check and see what those numbers are, but I just want to make sure I mention that and kind of report on the fact that he did have a royal service. And many services on the actual burial day. So just want to make sure we said that. And if they didn't check out the details of some of the things that was going on in Mandela's life, you can check out our show in the archives. That's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. And you can check it out. Kind of went through all of the people who were there during the memorial services and some of the highlights of it. But one that sticks out to me is Brazil's president, who, as well as Cuban president, said, you know, it's Africa's blood that runs through my veins, and the moving speeches that they gave during those whole services is kind of, I don't know a good way to say this, but you shouldn't have missed it. But if you get a chance to check it out, I'm sure there are plenty of YouTube versions of what happened. So if you get a chance to check it out, go check it out, and the Mandela service. Now, on that note, let's see if our commissioner is available. We will open her mic and just yell if you're available. I think we have Kathleen on. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Jerome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was hoping that you were going to say, if you missed it, you can catch it at. And you're like, if you missed it, you missed something, for real. I'm like, no,
well,
I thought you had
right.
You, know.
Well, yeah. I was going to say you could check your local listings because I don't know who's going to rebroadcast it. But I know on you get
Verizon does not. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Please call us and tell me if I am not correct on this. But Verizon, as far as I know, does not carry the Apple account.
They're doing what? I didn't hear you.
I said Verizon.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because if you have, I don't want to advertise these programs, but if you have a certain cable station, you could have watched the entire service from beginning to end, and it came about midnight and went off at like 6 in the morning on the Africa Channel and probably on some other stations as well. But the Africa Channel, I would bet that they will be the ones to repeat the airing of the services.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Because I watched it on C-SPAN, but C-SPAN shows a lot of things live, and they never repeat them. Like, they'll show it, and you'll never see it again.
Right.
So, yeah, so I didn't want to send people there because C-SPAN very rarely, I mean, they keep a lot of footage, but not until they come up with a collection and a watered-down version at that. It's good to see that those kind of things live because those speeches, I know with China's vice president, I guess is what he's called, China's vice president and Brazil's president, they all gave really, really good speeches. So I don't know if you saw
tell me who all the dignitaries were that gave speeches, I can go look those speeches up individually and collectively, I guess maybe by the end of the year, I will have been able to the entire service.
Well, oh, guess I could do that really quickly because there was only four. There was President Obama. He spoke first. Then there was Brazilian President. Oh, guys, I can't believe I forgot her name. And I actually really like her. And I've done stories about her because she's not going to hold her tongue. She's the one that said that, you know, that they should have affirmative action in Brazil because of, you know, they have the most Africans outside of the continent of Africa. They have the most Africans of any nation in the world outside of the continent of Africa. So... we had, let's see, what's her name? Let's see. Delma Rousseff. So she was there and her three predecessors. You had, who spoke? Oh, Raul Castro of Cuba. He also spoke next. And he spoke last. And we had China's vice president. Vice president. Lao Unchao, I think it's how you, Unchao or something like that. Those guys spoke. And I think it was, I want to go with Nigeria. Yeah, I want to say Nigeria's, but I think I want to go with Nigeria, but I'm sure I can look this up. I'll give you more details. I didn't mean to struggle over this, but had to recall them. But those three definitely, and one more spoke before South African president spoke. But they all did such a good job. Remember, it was raining pretty hard, so they did kind of want to speed it up after they spoke. But the interesting thing to me about the whole process, and I was talking to someone about this recently, is that if you notice, when the ANC, the family of Mandela, when they set up the memorial, no Western nation spoke. And it gives you a different picture of the world when you say, wait a minute, how come none of the European nations had anybody speak? It's beside President Obama, but how come none of the other ones spoke? And it's because they all were backing apartheid. Something really... Although they're
Bill?
There, you know. Huh?
Oh, they wouldn't let them speak? Is that what you're saying?
No, they set a schedule. You could not voluntarily speak. This was the set memorial service that they had.
Well, no, I understand that, but you were saying they didn't speak because they were backing apartheid. So I'm go ahead.
No, I was saying that it was just interesting to put together a program. When they put it together over Friends of South Africa. So a lot of people wouldn't have known until that great introduction that I can't remember her name from South Africa did for Raul Castro, for example, because Cuba actually floated South Africa when all the Western nations wouldn't help them. And they still give them financial support. As we think of Cuba as being poor and they don't have, they actually helped South Africa when everybody else turned their back on them. So
they helped everybody, didn't they?
Yes, but that was the trick of, like, watching it, and it shows you why the European nations, like, we are not watching it here. I'm sure in Canada they had a lot of complaints on the BBC because they were showing it. The BBC, I really like the BBC because their motto is, we're going to show it and you make up your own mind. So the government and the complaints and stuff for the BBC for showing the whole thing in its entirety in England, in some of the papers I've read, they did get a lot of complaints. And then they published that they got a lot of complaints. I like the BBC for that. They're like, yeah, we showed it and we got complaints. So, you know, but there were nearly 100 world leaders there. It was the largest gathering of world leaders in the history of the planet, as far as anybody knows, with world leaders. So
that's what I heard, which is amazing, and he certainly deserves it.
Oh yeah, definitely deserves it, and that's why I'm not saddened by it, but it's why it's a shame that people here didn't see it to the scale that it meant to the rest of the world. It leaves us blocked off from knowing that this man kind of rose above all of that, and, you know, it may be something to aspire to, but it's sad because since the European nations, like the kingdom, the president of France and Queen of England wasn't there. Well, Prince Charles was there yesterday, but since those guys were not involved in the program, the European nations really did not do too much. Everybody made fun of the translator, Saturday Night Live, and everybody. They'll pick it apart for laughing at it, but just for the ceremony to see how grand it was, you know, with the fighter jets flying next to the military plane that was carrying the body from town to town. To see that stuff was remarkable. So,
I'm really sorry I missed it. I really am. But I will, I'm trusting that I'm going to be able to see it somewhere. BET, somebody's
going to
show it, and I'll be able to see it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, because, again, BET and those guys are owned by the same people who are not showing it, right? They're owned by Viacom and all of those guys. So it's no European value. It's what oppression is, and it's kind of what they're talking about in the Mandela story of freedom, is saying oppression doesn't make you racist. It makes you aware that you're being oppressed. And so watching Mandela, just watching this whole concept, just shows how disconnected we are from everybody else in the world. If it doesn't make any sense to, you know, cause a little controversy or pat someone on the back, we won't show it. So I don't know. So I'll do something. I'll find out where it's broadcast or something, and I will talk about it on the next show, and we'll play a little clip from it. But
thank
Mandela,
you.
The movie with Idris Elba is coming out on Christmas, so we'll have to we'll definitely bring Daniel in to talk about that. He's already viewed the movie, so we can get a chance to talk about it a little bit. Now, did you hear all of this controversy about the white Santa Claus thing with the woman from Fox News? All week, and everybody's picked up on this, and not really Mandela, right? But this Megyn Kelly from Fox News, I won't say that the news is racist, but it is the home of racist. That was a joke from The Simpsons. But anyway, it's Fox News, which is not news. She said last week that Santa Claus and Jesus was white. And then she kind of just you know, called it out, and so everybody from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show to Saturday Night Live, and everybody kind of made fun of it because Megyn Kelly said, you know, specifically, children, if you're watching this, Santa Claus is white. Like, this is Fox News, so they're supposed to be serious news sometimes. So Jon Stewart actually kind of went off on it. Did you see any of that or hear anything about it?
I did not hear anything. I heard it. I heard you talk about it last week, but I didn't hear any of the other stuff, no.
Oh, okay. All right. So here's what we'll do. We're going to let's take 2 minutes and listen to Jon Stewart, because I actually put it on the board. We have a clip of it, so he'll give you that in context, and so we can talk about it, all right?
Okay.
It's the subject of our new segment, War on Christmas! Getting weird. Edition. First up, the General Patton of the War on Christmas.
There's an even crazier topic out there. Remember this classic Seinfeld moment?
Out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
No, please. That's the classic episode. I mean, the episode was funny, but not Festivus.
But as much as I'm used to Gretchen's yearly manger danger warnings, a little surprised to see Megyn Kelly going full Christmas nog.
So in Slate, they have a piece on .com. Santa Claus should not be a white man anymore. By the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, but this person is just arguing that maybe we should also have a black Santa. But, you know, Santa is what he is, and just so you know, we're just debating this because someone wrote about it, kids.
Just got real. Santa is just white. And who are you actually talking to? Children who are sophisticated enough to be watching a news channel at 10 o'clock at night, yet innocent enough to still believe Santa Claus is real, yet racist enough to be freaked out if he isn't white. Why? That's such a narrow, yes, West Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. But since we're pretending to debate this, carry on.
The author seems to have, you know, she's African American, and she seems to have real pain at having grown up with this image of a white Santa. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change.
Actually, I think that's the official slogan of oppression. Oppression. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change.
All right, that was Jon Stewart talking about Megyn Kelly on Fox. Now, he actually went in on Christmas and where it comes from in Greece, or St. Nick in Greece, and that he was a person of color. He didn't say he was black, but he's just saying he wasn't a white man. And it just seemed to catch fire to everybody's kind of jumping in on Megyn Kelly. She actually came out to apologize to some degree, you know, as they do on Fox News. She didn't really apologize, but she kind of said it was satire and she was joking around, pretty much. That's what I got from it.
That's what they all say.
When you're caught. I was just playing.
Yeah. And it's gotten so blatant now that you know, they're doing those jokes on nationwide television and expecting to not get, you know, backlash. It's just amazing to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, I was actually watching The View, and I don't watch The View much, but I only watch it at 5-minute increments too when I do watch it. But Barbara Walters weighs in on this. And Barbara Walters says, I think Santa Claus is white. And so I've never heard of anybody complaining about Santa Claus not being white. So Whoopi said to her, black kids ask that all the time. You know, when they're little, they say, why is Santa Claus white? And she goes, well, I've never heard that. Which is the meaning of oppression. Like, if white folks don't give you permission to do something, it didn't happen. I thought it was very telling about Barbara Walters. anyway,
said,
Whoopi.
She said Santa Claus is white?
Yeah. She said, leave it alone. Santa Claus is white. Yeah, that's Barbara Walters. The woman who had Bloomberg on today. Like, see, the whole thing with those guys is that they are conservative masking as being liberal. So we get to think that people like Barbara Walters have some kind of balance to her, and she's set an agenda like everybody else.
And I guess she figures she's retiring now anyway. She can say what she wants.
No, I think she just thought that, you know, with Whoopi, you know, Whoopi don't care. There is a lot of reasons to love Whoopi, but one is, she does not care, friend or foe. If you're wrong, she's going to call you out. Now, Sherry makes it really obvious that they pay her, so Sherry will watch her mouth. So
yeah.
One feels
yeah.
like she's held captive, and the other one is like, I don't care. I'm rich. So,
yeah.
Now, one New Mexico high school teacher is in hot water for telling a black student that Santa is white. Now, he may have watched that on TV. And so school officials in Rio Rancho confirmed that the teacher, that a teacher is in trouble for telling a student that Santa Claus is white. So the incident occurred when students were told to dress up as Santa Claus, an elf or a reindeer as a part of their class assignment. So Ruger said that his ninth grade black son showed up wearing a white beard dressed as Santa Claus, and he was told by a teacher, don't you know Santa Claus is white? Why are you wearing that? And then his father said whether this teacher felt his son may have been wearing it out of context, there's no room for it, there's just no room for it in the classroom is what he's saying. So a spokesman from the school said, the school is Cleveland High School, I don't know where that is in New Mexico, said that the teacher says that he know it was a dumb mistake and he apologized to the family. See how that can spin out of control? He was watching Fox. She said that a black student came in wearing, you know, a Santa Claus suit, and the white teacher actually harassed him about saying Santa Claus was white.
And this
so
was
that
a
was
Mex-
no joke.
This is
that
a
was
Mexican
in New Mexico.
Joke?
No, it was in the state of New Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I know. It too close to Arizona, but then there's a lot of jokes to insert there. I didn't want to go there. All right, so I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Since we didn't get to our main topic, let's go directly into our main topic, because I do really want to ask you about Rashida Jones, the daughter of Quincy Jones. She was calling out some female artists on Twitter, so we're going to talk about that later because I know we're going to get hot. So let's talk about the less hot main topic, NFL legend Jim Brown versus Kobe Bryant, NBA All-Star Kobe Bryant. Now, he was on Arsenio, Jim Brown was, and when he appeared on Arsenio Hall show, he weighed off about various topics, including Kobe and President Obama. But when Arsenio asked Jim Brown, the former Cleveland Brown running back and, you know, actor Jim Brown, I still have to call him that, about different athletes today, Hall mentioned Kobe Bryant. And the first thing that came out of Jim Brown's mouth is he threw Shaq under the bus. Now, I laugh because he did throw Shaq under the bus. And he
right.
said but then Jim Brown continued and said he is somewhat confused about coaches, because he was brought up in a different country, so it doesn't quite fit what's happening in America. He's an unbelievable athlete is what he went on to say. And he said that if he was calling the summit of black athletes, like he had to when they talked to Muhammad Ali about his status in the armed forces, he said he wouldn't invite Kobe. He said Kobe wouldn't be the kind of athlete that he would bring to a meeting. I don't know
why.
What that meant. Well, Jim Brown went on to explain that Kobe, he grew up in a different, like he's from here. He lived overseas. His father was a professional basketball player, so he lived in Italy and all these other countries. And Kobe seems to not like to stand by people. Again, he threw Shaq under the bus. So if he, I think it came from the fact that if he threw him up under the bus, during those times that they had real civil rights stuff, you wouldn't invite Kobe because you don't know if he's going to throw you under the bus or not. That's how I took it. And I think other people would just fly off the handle. Stephen A. Smith, Jim Brown is out of touch, and sometimes our elders do this. It's a different Kobe's strong, and he does things in his own way, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, I don't care how, like, how well somebody negotiates, you don't take them to a fight. Like, if somebody's fighting, you're like, hey, you can negotiate well and talk to people well on the phone, but you don't need to go to this. So he's just saying, I wouldn't invite Kobe to that. I don't think anything was wrong with it. That's just me.
And I could care less.
Right. No, I'm just saying. So technically, I don't think that's a black-on-black crime because Arsenio mentioned Kobe. Jim Brown didn't just throw Kobe out there. So black-on-black crime is when you use black people, for example, when you ain't have to use them. So... He did go a little extra mile on us, but that's not a black on black crime to me. So I'm gonna vote no. Commish,
are you gonna? I'm gonna vote yes. Hold on a second, Jerome.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a second.
Okay. Now, also on the topic of bullying, by the way, in the National Football League, Brown said, "I don't know what's going on with that situation." When he talked about Incognito and the other NFL player, Martin, about the bullying case, he said he doesn't understand how a 300-something pound player could be bullied. But, again, to Jim Brown's defense, he said that he doesn't know enough about it, so he's not going to comment on this at all. And Jim Brown also said, kind of what my belief is, you can't comment on everything. So Jim Brown did not really comment on it. He just said... he didn't see how a 300-and-some-pound person could be bullied, even if he was, you know. So that didn't make our black-on-black crime litmus test list. So we didn't include that one. It was just another statement. So Arsenio also went on to ask him about the president, and Brown said that he thinks – he said, I think he underestimated the system of government that we have, but Brown also campaigned Brown and his family campaigned for President Obama in Ohio when he was running for president in 2008. But and his views, you know, he feels like when President Obama went in that it was just one of those systems that's definitely harder to change than you think it does. So, and I guess he feels that President Obama was a little bit more optimistic. But again, that wasn't a black-on-black crime anyway. We're talking about the Jim Brown versus Kobe. All right, Commiss.
And I'm gonna. Okay,
you're back.
So I'm gonna say you said that it was not a black on black crime. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said I don't think it's a black. I'm saying it's not a black on black crime because Arsenio brought up Kobe's name and asked him about Kobe, and he just commented on what he was asked about. It wasn't like he pulled him out of the dark and saying I don't like Kobe because Kobe is A, B, and C, and D. He said, you know, tell us about today's act. He was talking about activism and how the athletes are these days, and he mentioned Kobe because they're in Los Angeles, and I guess they're Kobe fans. And Jim Brown said, hey, Kobe's an unbelievable athlete, but he wouldn't be invited to a black athlete summit because he threw Shaq under the bus. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, yeah, then of course it's a black-on-black crime because you would never say that. You would never say that about any other person.
Sure you would. If I knew somebody threw somebody under the bus, Justin Timberlake threw Janet Jackson under the bus, but I'll beat him down for that. So technically that's not a black-on-black crime. He threw her under the bus.
But I guess,
Kobe
I guess
threw
what
Shaq
I'm saying,
under the bus.
Yes, he did. But, you wouldn't even, I would imagine that you wouldn't even bring it up in relation to Justin Timberlake. Why, you wouldn't even mention anything about taking him to any kind of a dinner. It just wouldn't come up.
Well, no, but see, it was Arsenio's questioning, right? So Arsenio said, he mentioned Kobe. He said,
right,
what do you think about Kobe? And he did say he threw Shaq under the bus, but he mentioned Kobe specifically. But he said, he's an unbelievable athlete. And he said, as Arsenio was talking to Jim Brown, because, you know, Jim Brown left pro football early, right? He kind of protested it, left early, went and started making movies. He also, Jim Brown kind of left way before his prime in playing sports. And it was during the 60s that he and, who was it, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, all of those guys as athlete, the professor from Berkeley who created Kwanzaa. Kuringa, yeah. Those guys got together to create a summit of black athletes for activism, you know, in all sports across the board. And they actually talked to Muhammad Ali about his status in the armed forces, and, you know, he wouldn't go. And they actually provided some cover for him. So you take the top athletes in the world or in the United States and bring them all together, and they provided some cover for Ali. They went and talked to him, right? He's saying that he wouldn't, as far as activism in professional sports now, Arsenio brought up Kobe, and he said he wouldn't have invited Kobe to that. Like, he's just saying he's a great athlete, but his activism, I wouldn't invite him to something like that. So anyway, I didn't mean to influence your vote, I'm just saying for me. Go ahead.
I was going to say that there's you know, we have quite a few of these where we have a conversation that we simply say, who cares if it's a black on black crime? He was right.
True.
You know, so, and they get a pass. But, you know, I'm a lawyer, right? So I'm looking at it and telling you, hey, yes, technically this is a black on black crime just by nature of the question alone. By mere fact that we're talking about this, and it's only about black athletes, so we would never be talking about other athletes. You wouldn't say it about any other person.
Well,
unless they were black.
The crime should be Arsenio then.
Huh?
Right? So the black-on-black crime would be Arsenio. He led him.
Well,
you know how this goes in court.
No.
Somebody could have objected to that because he led him to that quest, to that answer.
Were they already talking about the summit?
No, they were talking about activism in sports.
Hey.
And he was asking Jim Brown about Kobe specifically.
Okay.
Arsenio Hall mentioned Kobe.
I don't think, I disagree, because Kobe could have said, you know, well, hey, what about Steve Nash? You know, he could say, hey, he's old, you know, whatever, or I like him a lot, or whatever, you know, what have you. He could have asked him about any athlete, but Jim Brown was the one that brought up, you know, hey, he threw Shaq under the bus. That's pretty much a, you know, and then I don't even think it's a crime. But when he starts talking about him being an activist, he's talking specifically about black athletes. Yeah, it's a pass. But, yeah, it's a black-on-black crime.
No. He said he wouldn't call him to a summit of black athletes. Arsenio was asking him about black athletes. He let him. Okay, Kobe released a statement, by the way, on social media, responding to Brown. Saying... it just says Brown, sorry. Responding to Jim Brown, Kobe did.
Right.
And he said, this is Kobe's tweet, a global African American is an inferior shade to American African Americans with a question mark. That doesn't sound very Mandela or Dr. King, sir. Like, he's saying that, I know Kobe's not saying he's in the land of Mandela or Dr. King.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to go off on Kobe.
Yeah, he is. Come on now. I don't even believe you tried to defend him on that. Yeah, he is.
I was trying to. I was like, no, he just didn't do that. Mandela just passed, man. He was just saying. Kobe was trying to deflect. But anyway,
no, he wasn't.
So that was...
He might have been trying to, what do they call it when it's, he was trying to deflect.
Yeah, he definitely was. He was trying to get them to stop looking at him. He was like, no, look over there. All right, so yeah, that was Kobe's response to Jim Brown. But again, it's like with our elders, I actually give our elders room to make those kind of mistakes. I'm still saying it's not a black on black crime to me. If you asked me about someone individually and you were talking about activism, and I would say I wouldn't call them, I don't think that's a black on black crime because you asked me specifically on him. I can't talk about him like he's not black. That's just my thing. All right, so we had to split this one.
Yeah,
you're
going to
go
split.
With no, it wasn't a crime. Oh, I'm sorry, you're going to go with yes, it was. Was it justifiable?
But it's justifiable, absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to go with justifiable black on black crime. I'm going to say it's no, so that's an acquittal in my book. That's a neutral, so he's acquitted. There was no crime there. You have to. It's almost like saying, you know how this goes. If you're guilty or not guilty, it's kind of one of those things. You had a hung jury. Like, so I voted not guilty. You didn't vote him guilty. You said it was justifiable. So you know what
yes,
something justifiable,
was. I
right?
I agree. Yes, it was justifiable.
There's
yes.
no penalty.
He gets the pass. Time served.
He gets time served from the commission. Now, late night talk show host Arsenio Hall again versus Kanye West. Now, I try not to do too many Kanye black on black crime moments, but Kanye compared himself to Arsenio. And Arsenio didn't like it. So when Arsenio was doing an interview on a radio station, Kanye West was doing an interview on a radio station. He said, "I could use my voice, but what'll happen if y'all don't buy my other albums? People are going to say, oh, he's just like Arsenio Hall, and he turned it up too much. Now he got fired. But when you got money, nobody can fire you." That's what Kanye West said. So during a post-Grammy nomination press conference that happened last week, Hall, who was presenting the Best New Artist nominees, addressed the recent comments by saying he left this show voluntarily. I think everybody knows that he left voluntarily. Well, you should know if you're in the media. And he said, you know, after admonishing Kanye for not knowing the facts, he alluded to Kanye's reference to slaves in pop songs, and he said, this is Arsenio, "I hate the word slave used in songs. Get the F out of here. Don't you know what that word is? Do you know what that word is all about? Nobody can use slave in pop culture. If you are in the music business, you should not F with that word." Arsenio was having a moment. He said, "Too serious an error, too serious a problem in America." And he said, there's no one that is free to move around this country that should use the word slave. Do you know what it means to slaves?" Is what his response was to Kanye. So I'll let you go on that, because I don't really know why that was any big problem, but he just had to address Kanye I think he just didn't like the fact that they keep saying that he was fired. I don't think Arsenio appreciates that anymore. It's almost like saying, no. See, I was about to commit a black-on-black crime. Never mind. I had a reference, but... Huh?
He wasn't fired? He was released.
That is funny. No, Arsenio left this. He quit his show. Arsenio was never let go of his show.
Uh-huh.
Arsenio actually, yeah, see, look at you. All right, fine.
No, I'm listening.
So you're saying that it's okay for Kanye West to say that because that's not a known fact that Arsenio voluntarily left the show.
I didn't say any such thing. I said, uh-huh, and I was waiting for you to finish.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know where this was going, but I was just kind of paraphrasing that. I guess it made sense for Arsenio to get hot, but I think that he did not necessarily throw Kanye under the bus because Kanye shouldn't invoke his name. So I think for me, that's going to be a null. That kind of washes when Kanye said fired like Arsenio. So I'm going to say no crime by Kanye on this one, and no crime by Arsenio for responding. I think that if somebody throws your name out there,
I'm going to agree with you on that. But I think that Mr. Hall, if he is going to be getting a little hot under the collar when people say that, he might want to clarify what happened and then why he was off the air for the last 20-some-odd years and is just coming back and it took so long. I mean, people think that he was released. Nobody knows what happened. I mean, you probably know because you're in media and all that.
Yeah.
But I honestly, and I was an avid Arsenio Hall fan. I watched that program. And all of a sudden, he had Minister Farrakhan on, and the next thing I know, a couple of shows later, Arsenio was no longer on the air.
All right. So, and I can clarify that because I was watching it during the time that he announced that he was leaving, and he booked Mr. Farrakhan on the last show. It wasn't that he had Mr. Farrakhan on the last show and then he stopped doing the show. He knew he was leaving a couple of weeks up to that. They did kind of announce that he was.
But why was he leaving just like all of a sudden?
Oh,
it wasn't
we were
expecting this to be his last season and all that. You know, none of that. Nielsen ratings
dropped.
He
had very high ratings, and Arsenio made the decision that he wanted to stay home with his child. He had a child, and he was at a young age, and he said, I need to spend more time at home, and he was working long hours. And by the time his contract renewal was coming up, I think it was a couple of weeks before the show ended, he decided not to renew. So Arsenio didn't renew his contract. That it ended on that episode, but he still got, you know, fortunate enough, was able to book the guest that he wanted to book. That's why Minister Farrakhan was on right at the end.
Okay.
Now, I'm not trying to defend Arsenio. I'm just saying.
Well, it's nothing to defend. I mean, why would you need to defend not being fine? You know what I mean? I mean, who cares? If there's really nothing to defend, just that people are happy that he's back, it does seem odd, because if that was the reason for him doing it, and I'm not saying that it isn't, if that was the reason, then I don't understand why he was on Oprah's, whatever that show is, crying about how he doesn't get to spend enough time with his child. I guess it's a different child.
Right, but he did get his child through high school and all of that other stuff, and then he tried to get back on TV, and they wouldn't let him back. That was a whole nother story.
Okay.
All right. Right on cue. All right, we'll be back. We'll take a quick break and come back. We'll listen to a little bit of Long Walk to Freedom, Mandela, for this break, but we'll be back with more Black on Black Crime.
From Red Lobster chefs to your table for a limited time. It's our seafood dinner for two for just $25. A handcrafted seafood feast made to share. First, you each get salad and unlimited Cheddar Bay biscuits. Then choose two from a wide variety of chef-inspired entrees, like our new honey garlic crispy shrimp or new seafood lover's linguine. Round out your seafood dinner with your choice of either an appetizer or dessert to share. Don't miss our seafood dinner for two, just $25. At Red Lobster, where we seafood differently.
Social worker I've ever hired, and you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen.
I heard you have a lot of girlfriends. I'm different.
This is your final warning!
You're not breaking any laws.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom.
Something has to change. For 50 years, we have been talking peace and non-violence. Not anymore.
When I get older, I will be stronger.
Aluminium powder mixed with an acid catalyzes, and you've got it.
And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back.
blacks take over, our country is finished.
What is it that you personally want?
I have beautiful children and a beautiful wife. I want them to walk free in their own land.
The situation on the streets is out of control.
Somebody wants me.
The accused are responsible for acts of sabotage with the intention of overthrowing the government.
Nelson Mandela, do you plead guilty or not guilty?
My lord, it is not I but the government that should plead guilty.
You will never leave here. You will never touch a woman or a child again. It's a pity they didn't hang you. I'm going to make sure you wish they had.
The more they oppress us, the harder we fight.
Freedom. It is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
Shall we begin?
Is holding it down today. Now, we have already talked about our main topic, which was one of the greatest football players ever, Jim Brown versus Kobe Bryant. We both gave him a null on that, and there was nothing but freedom in that for Jim Brown. There was no crime, no harm, no foul. And we had late night talk show host Arsenio Hall versus Kanye West, pretty much the same. No big major crime on that one, so we can move on that. And we also played a clip from, you know, Jon Stewart from The Daily Show talking about the war on Christmas and Santa Claus being black or white and all of that good stuff. So, hey, we're back. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189 if you want to join the program. We have the commish. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm good. You know, had to take a breather, settle in. You know, we're good. How is your holiday shopping going? I just forgot all about the season.
Really great. I started and finished on the same day.
That's the way to go.
The 12th of never.
Wait a minute. Did you do online shopping? It was like a couple of clicks. You're like, I'm going to get 12 of those, and I'm done.
I did absolutely nothing.
Okay, good. Because I won't feel, I feel like we're in the same club, so we're cool with that.
Yeah, no, I'll be shopping at my bank and getting some gift cards. And I think just my great niece, I will get her, you know, a toy or something.
Yeah, you got to get the kids. That's all that is. Just the kids. Get the kids something. So, all right. So I want to welcome everyone back to Black on Black Crime. Here is where I wanted to have a discussion about Rashida Jones. She's the daughter of Quincy Jones. She called out some women artists. Now, she said the artists who often speak about female empowerment and increasing their nudity and all of that other stuff, you know, while you're doing videos and all of that other stuff. Rashida Jones said via social media, this week's celebrity news takeaway, this is what she wrote, she who comes closest to showing her actual inside of her vajayjay is the most popular pound, stop acting like hookers. And she didn't use the word hookers. She used the word that starts with a W that I don't use. But that's what Rashida Jones tweeted. And she just took issue with accusations of, I guess, what they called slut shaming. Because a lot of people kind of on social media went after her or judging women's sexuality according to sexist standards. So she said, I consider myself a feminist. I would never point the finger at a woman for her actual sexual behavior, and I think all women have the right to express their desires, but I will look at women with influence, millionaire women who use their sexiness to make money and ask some questions. She said there is a difference, a key one being shaming or holding someone accountable. So it's okay to hold somebody accountable, but she's not doing that to shame them. What do you think about Rashida Jones' comments when it comes to pop stars thinking that they have to, and that she specifically, she didn't say Rihanna, but the news cycle, you know, would put up Rihanna and Miley Cyrus and all the women who are stripping to sing songs. What do you think about that?
Oh, okay. She's saying what now?
Yeah, I know. It seems like a lot. She just said she who comes closest to showing her actual inside of her stuff is the most popular. Stop acting like hookers. That's what she tweeted out as she was talking about women in music. I don't know what she was watching, but apparently something upset her.
Okay, so she's talking about other women. That they don't.
She's talking about women artists, like music artists.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, not her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's talking about other women and how they don't need to do that.
Yes.
Okay, I was just trying to be clear.
Well, okay, so here's another quote. She said, every star interprets sexy the same way. Lots of skin, a lot of licking of teeth, lots of bending over. She said, I find this oddly boring. Can't I just like a song without having to take an ultrasound tour of some pop star's privates? That's it. That's her quote. So I think she must have been watching videos or something. It just got a little too raunchy for her.
Yeah.
I don't. So.
And she's talking about the women, not the men.
Well, she didn't say. She just said the showing skin and bending over kind of stuff. I guess the people are interpreting that as just the women, but the guys too. She's just saying that there's ways to be sexy without showing a lot of skin.
And did she give any examples?
I hope not. I didn't pull any, so I hope not.
So I'm just trying to understand. No. I'm not trying to be funny. I really am not.
Oh, but it was funny. I just want to share that with you.
It was funny.
Even though you weren't, although you weren't trying, it was funny.
Yeah.
No, that's all she said. That is all. That is how she summed it up. Now, Rashida Jones has, you know, been in controversy before, by the way. She told John Travolta to come out of the closet, and then she came back and apologized for that. So I don't know. Rashida, she better watch her social media stuff. But that was a few years ago. She had to come out and apologize for that.
Did she?
All right. Yeah, she did.
No,
I'm saying
no,
that's
not
what
that,
she apologized.
Not that she, not that did she, not did she apologize, but did she have to?
You are funny. You are funny. I know you mean to be. But I don't know. I have not. Hey,
I know.
I'm gonna plead the fourth and fifth on this one. Like, I don't know how many that I can plead, but.
Okay.
How many amendments I can plead in this one, but I'm going to plead at least five of them. So, maybe not. All right. Now, in the world of entertainment news, or news and entertainment, because it's just not entertainment news. Now, a prominent Los Angeles Superior Court judge who is black has filed a complaint against UCLA's police department for excessive force after he was roughed up doing a non-routine traffic stop. I'm sorry, doing a routine traffic stop. So David Cunningham, who is, I'm not going to say his age, he was leaving a LA Fitness in Westwood on a Saturday morning. He was pulled over by campus police for not wearing a seatbelt. In his complaint, Cunningham claims that he was in the process of buckling his seatbelt after paying the parking attendant when he, you know, how you unbuckle, pay the parking attendant, and then put your seatbelt back on. And he said UCLA police cruiser stopped him. And I don't know why they had to point out that he was driving a Mercedes, but okay. So when he reached for his glove box to get his vehicle registration, the officer told him not to move, and when a bottle of prescription pills fell, he has heart medication, fell out. The officer accused him of being a drug dealer, and then his sergeant was called to the scene, and he was thrown up against the car. Now, Cunningham has not filed a racial discrimination suit against the campus police, but did acknowledge the possibility, I love this, the possibility of race being a factor in the incident, because Cunningham is a prominent voice in the L.A. judicial circles and was a former president of the Los Angeles Police Commission, the civilian-led group that oversaw the LAPD, their police brutality. And he was getting brutalized by a campus police. I think he's going to sue him. That was just an interesting
UCLA.
Story. It's like,
that would be pretty cool. I think he's going to sue UCLA.
Yes.
That's
they
pocket.
Shouldn't be carrying guns on campus anyway. But that's a whole nother story.
They had, oh, I didn't hear the gun part. I know that you said it roughed
no,
him up a
well,
little bit.
Yeah, I didn't go into that part of the story, but he did kind of rough him up, got him out of the car, you know, kind of. Just because his heart medication fell out, they accused him of a drug dealer. Now, I didn't know drug dealers came with, like, prescriptions. But
Clonopin,
right? Yeah. You're like,
good
y'all give out prescription these days? Yes.
I need my deductions.
It's like, hold on. I got to see my pharmacist. So, yeah, that just seemed a little strange. So I wanted to share.
Wait, give me my hydrochlorothiazide.
Is that some hydrochlorothiazide, man? I got to air
some
bottles. How about some
Lasix? Exactly. He's like, yeah, I'm going to need something to drink with that. But anyway, okay. So in other stories, here's a disgusting story for you, Kathleen. I don't know why I said that's for you.
Disgusting?
It's not
disgusting. I don't need that. I pass.
You don't really need that?
Yeah,
no. I don't know if I got time for that. Okay. Well, we're going to do this story because I was going to do it on the news, but I kept missing the story because we kept running out of time. So experts have made, like, a stomach-churning creation using bacteria from the human foot as well as the belly button and the armpit. So scientists said that they have a project. It's called Self-Made, which has recently debuted in this exhibition of synthetic biology in Dublin, Ireland. Now, they're American scientists, but they actually made cheese from bacteria of people's belly buttons, human foot, and armpits. So you can actually have, for your guests, you could actually I don't know why you would want to do this. This is so disgusting. There's a short film that was created that explains how the process is to use human cheese making along with interviews with people who donated bacteria samples. So they actually use swabs, created cheese from your bacteria that you can eat on your dinner table. Like, who would want to do that? That's why it was disgusting. There are 11 cheeses in the exhibition, in the exhibit, by the way. Okay, no comment? You're going to take a zero? Okay. All right, you must have us on mute, Kathleen, because I know that's pretty disgusting. So
oh, yeah.
I know
no,
you probably.
I actually put the phone
okay.
down. I was just waiting for you to stop talking. I didn't listen to any. Once I heard foot back to you, I was just like, oh.
Oh, you
so
did
I'm
not.
I'm sorry to call in on that one.
You did not.
I, like, totally did not listen. I was like, I'm drinking.
Did you not listen, really?
I didn't.
Kathleen, I'm going to tell you what the story is.
Okay.
It's not that bad. Don't drop the phone. I wouldn't really gross you out.
Okay.
Come on now.
Okay.
Did you really put the phone down?
I did.
That's hilarious.
It was disgusting. And then I heard something about bacteria and stomachs. I was like, I can't do it.
That is hilarious. Okay, so in Dublin, Ireland, they had an exhibit for synthetic biology. And so some American scientists actually figured out a way to create cheese from individuals' bacteria so that you could have cheese at your house that's made from you. So you can share with your guests, like, I don't know, jalapeno cheese and hog head cheese or whatever that you can say specifically came from your DNA. Now, they made a short film about it in the process of cheese making that you use from individuals, individual samples. It's just disgusting that you would want somebody's, an individual's DNA to make cheese. Okay, did you drop the phone again?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. You didn't want to hear that story.
I said, he's going to kill me. But I have such a sensitive stomach.
That is funny. My bad.
My stomach's been a little queasy today, okay. Too. I'm having my nighttime.
Okay, I'm gonna leave all the, yes, I'll leave all the medical stuff out of there, and we'll just move on for that. So, we'll move it to political news. How about that? Will that work for you?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good Lord. Kathleen is killing me today. That would have disgusted Kai, but, you know, Kai would have had a few words with me on that one. Now, we'll do this one. Now, the latest map of America's prolific swears, people who swear, has been compiled and gathered, and they recorded 600,000 phone calls over the past 12 months. I don't know how. You had to volunteer for this, by the way. And Ohio came out on top. So this Marchnitz Institute analyzed phone calls from data from people making business calls to customers and were informed that they were being recorded, such as banks and insurance firms. And they found that one out of every 150 conversations in Ohio, people actually swore in those conversations.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, but following Ohio, Maryland, New Jersey, Louisiana, and Illinois round out the top five.
Probably all the calls in New Jersey went to Governor Christie.
Yeah, can you imagine? This is somebody from your beeping bank. You left your ATM card. Get your boob down here and come get it. I can imagine those phone calls. They got it from businesses. So the businesses were doing that. And now they said men were the culprits behind 66% of those phone calls containing curse words or longer. They said longer phone calls tend to be the ones where people are most likely to swear. That would sound about right, right? If you're having a problem.
In the first couple of seconds, you know, it's pretty much all you're saying, hello, how are you? And then from there, it's fair game.
Yeah, and as you get into the conversation, you're like, what? Like, that's how it goes.
Yeah, how am I?
What do you mean, how am I?
Who are you
anyway?
So, what you want to know for? And then it's like, da 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 pow. It's on and popping.
All right, yes. So that is how that goes. And so I understand how.
And I used to live in Ohio. There's not much else to do there but curse and curse.
But curse? But curse?
Either curse and go to church. Some people do both. But
That make a nice song. Curse or church. Like, you can't curse in church, but you want to curse and go to church because you need to repent from all that cursing. Now, okay, in holiday shopping news, and I know I did mention shopping, in China, a man jumped to his death after a furious argument with his girlfriend who insisted that they go shopping for clothes. Remember we did this story? And after 5 hours of shopping, the man finally had enough, demanded to go home, and witnesses say he could be heard saying they already had more bags than they can carry, but she insisted on going into one more shop where there was a special offer on shoes. So she started shouting at him, accusing him of spoiling Christmas. The shouting match ended, and the man threw the bags on the floor and then jumped over the balcony and killed himself from 7 stories up in the mall. That was in China. Now,
what
that is commitment to the holidays. No, she was going to go into another store.
What? No. Oh, what store was she going into? Jimmy Choo, Malona Blunt.
I can't call it. Does that make a difference in the story? Like, it depends what store she was going in?
Oh, yeah.
Now, hey, now, some...
Prada,
some
where was she going?
Some comedian actually addressed...
What the heck? I meant this would be easier than paying for those shoes.
Right. Now, I think we did have...
Give me one second. Everybody knows I am a minister, so let me just pray for his family and for him.
Okay.
You know, and I'm sending blessings and healing and all of that, seriously, to the family. Because that is a very depressing story around the holidays.
Yeah, he was immediately killed on the impact of that fall. So it's we're not laughing at him per se, like for his family's sake, but just because of that argument that she was committed after 5 hours of shopping, that she, you know, pretty much just went in. We really do have to kind of look at the holiday season and say that it's not funny that he passed, but it is interesting that, you know, that would drive you nuts. So take the holiday season, and remember, Kathleen and I both said we didn't shop yet for the holidays, and take our advice. It's not that serious. Don't worry about it so much. So I just want to say that and remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You know what we're going to do? Since I did do a little bad story, before we sign off, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll close out the show with more Black on Black Crime. You can call in 909-265-9189 if you want to join the program. And if you want to hit us up during the week, just send it to your comments or questions to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com, and you can join us in on the program with your questions or comments. Also, you know, if you have some show topics, we received several show topics from people emailing, and I want to thank you for sending them in and sending in your comments, and all of the listeners, by the way. We've had a good year, and I know we're coming on holidays, so just in case we don't do another show or in case we have a rewind or something, you know, we want to make sure that you can hear us and get some holiday blessings. So as the minister Kathleen would say, we have to watch out for our blessings and what we're putting out in the universe. So on that note, we'll take a quick break and come back with more Black on Black Crime after this message.
Of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest-growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands.
Mom, Dad, everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Hey, you know, our commish got dropped. How are you, commish? You good?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I thought you hung up on me.
Hey, you know, no, actually, in mine, when you thought I hung up on you. You know,
well,
I didn't want the commish to unplug me.
I thought it was better than that, but I was like, what happened? Now, in church, we would say that was the devil, and he's a liar.
Oh,
devil
no.
Was a liar.
No.
Sending prayers to the man who jumped off the seventh glory thing, and that was it. Wasn't that interesting, though?
Yeah, and actually, I finished that. That's why we took a break, because I had to take a serious moment, because it was, and it is the holidays. And I reminded our listeners that the commish and I did not do any Christmas shopping. Not that serious. Be easy. That's what I said when you were gone.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, see? So we didn't take it that serious. but you're good now.
Yep, I'm good.
Okay. Now, I wanted to say, you know, when we, you know, in more Hollywood news, so since we did talk about, you know, Mandela and Idris Elba and that guy. I am getting his name right. Kai would be so proud of me. Both of you guys. Now,
I'm very proud. I just holding my breath.
For the bad news after I say his name. I'm no hater. That's not going to happen. There's no crime committed by me. Now, the Oprah Winfrey had a sit-down with the Hollywood Reporter. She received a Screen Actors Guild Award nomination for the Lee Daniels, the butler. And she opened up about her decision to forego having children while admitting that she doesn't regret her choice. Now, I didn't make this a black-on-black crime, but I did think about it. Oprah said, if I had kids, my kids would hate me, is what she said. She said they would have to end – she said they would have ended up on the equivalent of the Oprah show talking about me, because something in life would have to suffer – and it would have probably been them. That's what Oprah said. That is just wrong, Oprah. Now, I don't know if you heard that comment before. Did you hear her say that?
I didn't hear her say it, no. But I guess that's
why
she didn't have kids.
It was just what?
I guess that's why she didn't have kids. God bless her.
Yeah, for her to say that. Now, a lot of people kind of are applauding her for saying that. They're saying, hey, at least you knew that, you know, that your kids are going to suffer. Because most people have kids. I shouldn't say most people. There are a lot of people who have money, who have kids, who don't raise them anyway. It amazes me that some people go out and write books and they were sent to boarding school. Like, it's like, here's how you should raise your kids. And they actually weren't raised by their parents. But anyway, so it's interesting. But she did say that. And while Winfrey may not have children, she dedicates a great deal to students. She has her Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls, a school which she opened in 2007 and contributes more than $100 million to. So she says she begins her every morning at 7:30 a.m. with no alarm clock. She doesn't need one, and exchanged emails with the girls from her school. She didn't say she didn't like kids. She said she didn't want to have none.
But I don't understand. Okay, so here's what I don't get. You said there's a lot of rich people that don't raise their kids. There's a lot of people without money who don't raise their kids either. And I don't know what makes Oprah think she's any different than any other mother who doesn't have any time to do all that running around with you. Like, why does she think she's special? I mean, we all went through the same thing, and we just had to do it. So I don't know what she's talking about. And that was an expansion right now. What did your mother always threaten you with from the time you were 3 years old? If you asked him today, you know what he would say?
Cleaning the room? No.
No.
What would he say?
I better not ever look up and see you on Oprah talking about your mother.
So Oprah foresaw that her kids would be on Oprah or the equivalent of Oprah or Arsenio talking about Oprah.
Right, but who did to say that? That's what I'm saying. What makes her feel like she's so special? Who didn't say that? We all said that. Everybody said that.
I think I'm about to throw a flag on you because it sounds like you're saying Oprah should have had kids against her will just because she found it hard that she should still have.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if she didn't want to have kids, just don't have them. You don't have to come up with that excuse because she's trying to say she's exclusive and she's the only busy woman in the world. I mean, you know, that's what she's saying.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to let Oprah slide on that one. I hear. It's better than us calling her horrible mother because we'd have black on black crimed her on that one if she was abusing her children. So.
Would she just say she was gonna abuse them just so they'd be on Oprah?
Well, she would neglect them. So in this society, that's technically child abuse, isn't it?
She said she would neglect them.
She said something would have had to give, and it would probably would have been the kids if she had to choose.
You know what? It's so okay. So here's what I think is really horrible about that.
Mm-hmm.
What is she saying about all the kids who were on her show talking about their parents? You know what I mean? It's just this. That she should say that.
I really have a problem with that. I see. You're saying that she should have just took a zero. Like, don't say nothing,
yeah.
Oprah, if you go.
She should have just said, I just decided not to have any and just let it go.
Okay.
I got my girls in Africa.
You're what?
You know, I got my girls in Africa, which is what she usually says. And maybe she was trying to make a funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what she was doing. Now, there's a real lawsuit about the Hollywood Exes show. You know that? Have you ever seen that show on VH1 with Hollywood Exes?
No.
Okay, it has Prince's ex, Eddie Murphy's ex, Nicole Murphy, Jose Canseco's ex.
Who's now married to... Mike Strahan, right?
And R. Kelly's wife. Now, Tamara Johnson sued Vernon Lynch and Lynch and Dyson Entertainment in Superior Court. Johnson claimed that they stole her idea for the reality show, which she called Hollywood's Ex-Wife Club, a.k.a. Baby Mama. I don't know why she would call it that. Now, Johnson says in November 2008, she wrote the treatment outline for the show's theme, tone, and plot, and listed potential cast members, which included herself as Eddie Murphy's ex-girlfriend. Right? So it's Hollywood Exes Clubs, not Hollywood Exes, because ex-wives is how they do it now. Now, when she did that, in her treatment, she put Andrea Kelly... R. Kelly's ex-wife, who is on the show now, Angelique McQueen, Oscar De La Hoya's ex-girlfriend, and Johnson pitched it to Daphne Wayans, the ex-wife of Keenan Ivory Wayans, according to the complaint. So Johnson claimed that she entered into a non-disclosure, non-compete agreement with Kelly, R. Kelly's wife, McQueen, and Wayans, and registered the treatment with the Writers Guild of America in March 2009. She began shopping the project and pitched it to various production companies and networks, including VH1 and Lynch, according to the lawsuit. And there you have it. That, my friend, is a sad story.
That is a sad story. Having no time, though. That's what they say. Unfortunately, it happens too often.
Yeah. I mean, she went through a lot of trouble to get non-disclosure agreements and then to set a cast, you know, and contact them, and she shopped it for that long. And then instead of using Eddie Murphy's, I guess she must have a child by Eddie Murphy, but instead of them using her, they actually went to Eddie Murphy's ex-wife, and it's her show, Eddie Murphy's ex-wife, Nicole.
Are they paying this lady who's suing? Is she getting paid as originator, writer?
Yeah, is she getting that it didn't say, because they claimed that it wasn't on her idea. But if she wrote the treatment in 2008 and shopped it, and then Andrea Kelly, who is on the show, R. Kelly's ex-wife, and she had I hope she wouldn't sue her friend, but she had an agreement with her and Oscar De La Hoya's wife and Keenan Ivory Wayans' ex-wife, that means she already had the nucleus put together. So it just seems kind of odd. But I wanted to share that story anyway, because I know as everybody gets into looking at these, you know, reality shows, you're pitching them to these networks, and then they walk away stealing your idea. And that's why people call folks like, that's why they ask Kathleen.
That's right. Well,
so they don't
have
that
problem. I'm going to send blessings to her, too, because we don't want her jumping off any buildings or anything like that.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
no, but
you know,
that was
I could see how frustrating that would be to write a hit show and just be, you know, locked out of it.
And then watch it make so much money. I mean, it actually did pretty well in the ratings, I guess. Yeah. And it's been renewed, and they had a couple of seasons already.
Well, hopefully
she'll win what?
Hopefully she'll win a lawsuit.
Yes. I think they tried to pay her under the table to keep her quiet, and she took them to Superior Court. good luck to you in winning your lawsuit, because that is nothing more, disgusting than people stealing folks' ideas. I watch that happen, and it always kind of unnerves me a little bit. You know, speaking of that, did you know about the Eminem story, how Eminem's got taken by the Mars family?
The what? The story of Eminem got taken
by the... Well, the Eminems, the candy Eminems.
Oh,
have you ever heard that story?
Rapper. Sorry, my bad.
No, not Eminem. Eminem's the candy. All right, I'm gonna tell this as we go out. Now, here's the thing. So, Eminem's is the creation of one of the Mars family kids. So the big chocolate companies before World War One was the Mars and Hershey's. Hershey's CEO last name was Milton. So their kids went to college together, the Milton kid and the Mars kid. So during the war, of course, there was a shortage on chocolate and all these other things. They had devised this idea of making candy. So they had the candy-coated chocolate so that it wouldn't melt. So the two kids, the Mars kid and the Milton kid, created M&M's. Well, since they created M&M's, the Mars family stole the Milton kid's rights to M&M's, and now it's called M&M Mars, and they actually own M&M's. So it happens. That's what?
Is that black or white?
No. Well, since M&M's has a lot of different colors in it, I can't really call it. They were all it was all kind of colors. But So protect your trade. Ask Kathleen. Find an attorney, because you're going to have to sue somebody who takes your idea when it's that big.
That's right.
Alright. So I want to thank everyone for listening to Black on Black Crime. We will check it out next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's here, Jerome and the commish. See you guys next week. All right, later, commish.
Later, Jerome.
All right.